Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be. If you wanna be. Thank you.
There's a gift, there's a light in your heart. You just can't contain it when we all play our part around the world. It's just so amazing. With our hands and our hearts, we can build this bridge together. With our wisdom and with our art, we can make a change for the better. Peace together, peace together. Just put it down, we say, peace together, peace. What it do, I say, it's up to me and you, I say, peace. No, we don't want no war, we say, peace together, peace. Gotta put it down, we say, peace. No, we don't want no war, we want peace. No, we only want some love, we want peace together, peace.
The playground of life. You got the unique opportunity to hear once again Jalil and Jakari welcoming us on the playground with Row, Row, Row Your Boat. A beautiful rendition, don't you think? They are fantastical, I tell you. Let me see if I can adjust myself a little bit. I tell you, I'm so excited. Today is such a great day on the playground. Before that, you heard Foray, Together Peace. That's so awesome. You can find him on Facebook. And that's McCoore. And before that, you heard at the top, George Gorillaz with Pure Imagination. And you can find his wonderful music at evzonemusic.com. They call me Ombasa Sofira. Who I am? I am one with all truth, all beauty, all justice, and all love. Always all love. Yes, indeed. I am so excited. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit, but you know what? I'm just so excited. I got one of my wonderful playmates on this playground with me right now, and I don't want her to leave and go home, so I'm about to bring her on. My guest today, this week on the playground, is Solanda Smith, a licensed professional therapist, marriage and family therapist, natural certified counselor, certified anger management specialist, and certified sex addiction therapist. She is a seminar facilitator, passionate inspirational speaker, author, radio and television personality. She's the director of Inner Circle Counseling Center, where she specializes in creative therapy to build happy, healthy, and harmonious relationships. Oh, I'm giving you a big hug and squeeze, Solanda. Welcome to the playground of life.
It is such a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, Impasa.
Oh, my God. So, you know, I always do this. I always read from the paper and everything, and I think I do pretty good. But, you know, they need to know who one of my favorite playmates is right now. Who is Solanda Smith? You tell them.
wow. You know, I'm really just a soul being who loves exploring, who loves learning, who loves life, and as you can see, who loves to laugh. So my connection with people runs so deep, and so it's always a wonderful pleasure for me to be invited to a playground such as this and to share my story and who I am.
Yes, well then, let's hear more about your roots. Come on, give us some more about those roots. Let's go deep.
Okay. So,
how low can you go? Can you go down low?
We can
all way
go
to the. Okay, let's go.
And with roots, my physical roots here on planet Earth at this time run from a few different lines. It runs from the African line, from the Cherokee line, and there is, what I've been told, some Scott line in there, too. I can go six generations back on my maternal side in the Cherokee tradition, and a lot of my work, a lot of my interactions with traditional people have afforded me an opportunity to put together what I've been told by my grandmothers and the stories they used to tell me and with those that I've met on this path and put them together to bring more of a solid understanding about that root. And although I have also learned about my African roots, our cosmology, who we are, the star systems that we come from, what are we doing here, who are we truly, it's a blessing to have ritual in life, and ritual can be just giving thanks for your life, giving thanks, having gratitude for what you have to experience, because it's all in the mind, right?
Yes,
indeed. And how we choose to express what's in the mind.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And while it is no coincidence that your work like mine is centered around relationships, you know, because my grandparents are Native American as well and from two different tribes, Lakota and the Cherokee. And if you saw a picture of my grandmother, you would think you were her granddaughter. You know, and what I'm looking at right now is how we vibrate so strongly around relationships in our work with such a close lineage to a race of people whose life was centered around relationships with all things of creation. You know, what is it? Can you say tell them what in Lakesh means?
Repeat that for me.
In Lakesh. I might not be saying it exactly the way you say it, but in Lakesh, the Native American saying. Do you know what that means, in Lakesh?
I am uncertain. I would have to see the spelling.
Okay, it's I-N-L-A. K-E-S-H, I believe it is, or K-A-S-H.
K-A-S-H. In the cash. No.
Okay, we will explore that. I'm sure one of the listeners will give us a call and let us know what that means. And so with all of the things with the relationship, with everything that has to do with life and the earth and humanity, what is your take? You know, we're here in this, I call this day thanks and giving thanks, as you just said so wonderfully. What is your take on the original meaning of this holiday we're celebrating today?
One of the important things is connection. For me, we all walk around in human form and human bodies, and we have the ability to express through these bodies. And everybody on the planet has this ability, and how we choose to express is very important because the words that you use, the tonation, even your facial gestures run deep. Everything is energy. So your words and what you say is still left. It resonates. And when you directly say something to someone, it's remembered in the cells, and then it goes out into the ethers. So relationship just isn't about being able to wake up and tell someone that you love them or how much you care about them. And even when you become angry, you may express that in the moment. You may go back and say, I apologize, or you may not. relationship is understanding the connection of how we really truly relate to one another and how our need is based upon that relation. And not just in human form. We're talking about the other winged beings, the four-leggeds, the two-leggeds, the six-leggeds, right? That's important, too, the trees, the flowers. We all have a part here to make sure that this planet continues so that we can come and have a self-expression to one another.
Okay.
That's very, very important. I think sometimes
that is. Yes, that is very important. And it, I just got a listener that gives me what in the catch is I am another you. I knew it was something that had to do with relationships. And that is so powerful that is spoken so much in so many different tribes, you know, in Lakesh. I love the sound of it. I mean, even when you say it, it's like, in Lakesh. But anyway, let's get back to you and your roots. Now, when you talk about how you heal your own life and learn to love yourself, you know, through the experiences that you had, you know, I find that mostly we're sharing our experience. When we are teaching someone, you can't teach what you don't know, obviously, you know. And I always say that, you know, it's not a gift unless it's shared. But you can't even share the gift unless you have actually gone through something that had the trial and error and you were victorious, you know, and then you, guess what, become the expert. Don't let nobody fool you, because you can learn things from reading, yeah. But there's another kind of you know, what is it, expertism that comes from the experience of it all, you know, and I feel like that's pretty powerful how you started your center. Is that right?
Yes.
What moment was that? About how many years ago?
I started the center just a couple years ago. I've been doing work by contract, going to different agencies and companies. It's been probably roughly about 10 years doing that, but I've been a licensed psychotherapist. I've been doing that work since 1997.
Wow. So that's about, what, 17 years?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I read also that you were saying something about using the alchemy of old school, new school. I love that. And then you said traditional, non-traditional, clinical, non-clinical. So what is some of the non-conventional styles of healing do you offer?
So interestingly enough, although I work with the Western psychology piece and I may use some of those modalities and tools, much of the work is being able to get people to be centered within themselves. So the non-traditional way, or in this case indigenous, so let's say the indigenous way of really knowing yourself and having a relationship with yourself is first wanting to have that. What I'm finding is people are disconnected from that and they're looking at externals for pleasure, lovers in their lives or money or the attainment of material things, or wanting to be somebody other than themselves. There's a lot of dissatisfaction in just being, the displeasure of what your body looks like, or not being raised in the way they think they should have. And these are distractions when we think about what we don't have or how something should have been. So bringing a person back to this moment and helping them realize that one of the most powerful things we have as human beings on the planet is the power to choose, you know, in that moment, and then that choice sparks a flame or a fire, a desire within you to carve out another path. Sometimes we need help from others to remember that we do have another path, right? Because our bodies, when resonating at even an average or a high frequency, where we are more open to what the universe, you know, or our guides, or, you know, any other names that we might have for those that help us to speak to us and help us say, hey, this is it, try this, go here and do that. But when we're closed off and we're full of distractions, then we don't get those messages. We don't hear them, and then we think that we're lost, we're abandoned. We don't know who we are. We think that we don't have any support. So first, taking people back to that ability to make a choice is important, and then moving them into a place of being back in their bodies. So I do a lot of work with people coming back into their bodies, feeling what it's like when something's said to them if their feelings are hurt, or what was it like when this happened to you? Where did it manifest in your body? And they, people will say, I felt it mostly in my neck, right? So we'll talk about the aspects of really what the neck is a structure. Or we'll talk about when it hurts in the side, right, and the spine, being able to be protected from something. So I weave in the knowing of the body with the science of the mind, and then we'll look at what's not being revealed within self.
I love it. I love it. This is yummy for me. And I love the science of the mind. I love the whole energy of the mind because I know what it means. And you know, and as a person who's been working with people for over 20 years, it's humbling for me to now really get to see myself, you know. I mean, because a lot of times what we do as when we get in that role, you know, we're in a role, you know, and we're playing a role really well. And that's what we are to do here as we walk this earth on this playground. And there's a time that comes when you have to really, really, really get into that relationship. It comes for people at different points. And when it gets to the point when you are actually in that relationship and you start looking into your own eyes, and you start really paying attention to, as you said so wonderfully, the pain and or the joy, you know, whichever is coming and you feeling it, like you said, in different parts of your body and being able to recognize and this is beautiful, and I love this conversation because when people can start doing that, there will be less ailments, less health issues, less stress, less fear, less feelings of lack of worthiness and such. And so it's beautiful what you're sharing. I'm really, really appreciating it. And I can just go anywhere, so I'm going to go anywhere right now. When you Is that okay?
Yes, I'm with you. I'm on this path with you, yes.
Okay. So I know, you know, people have relationships with people, and they see and they have repetitive things that happen. You know, we talk about when we go to sleep and we wake up in the morning and we have the same thoughts and we think we're going to have something different, right? Right? But in relationships, you know, why do you feel that people see the same patterns occurring in their relationships?
Okay. So I want to go back to the term in Lakesh, and thank you for the caller who came in to give that definition and my further looking into it, as it's also a Mayan prophecy or proverb, is, you know, I am another you. The reason why we have the patterns that we do in our relationship is because what I'm finding is people don't want to look at the other person as themselves, as that reflection, as part of being my connection. You are my extension. So when you are in a relationship where you don't value yourself first so that you can value the other person, then it doesn't work. So there's this competition that's set up. There's this judgment that's set up. There's this, I have expectations of how I want to live my life, and you need to feel that for me because of our beliefs as maybe a child or even earlier adulthood, that does form how we feel we should live as an adult. And when we invite somebody into our lives, because it's an invitation, you're choosing this person to come in, just like you can choose them to go out, right?
Mm-hmm.
The power of choosing, the power of choice, is that to respect that person has accepted your invitation is a gift. Because nobody owns anybody. There is no possession. right? Mm-hmm. There's only the reflection that I am grateful that you are here to bring enhancement to my life. So when people are willing to look at themselves first, what their liabilities are, what junk do you bring to the table that might hinder this relationship from being the best it can be, right? How can mm-hmm. your relationship blossom? When people aren't wanting to do that, usually they're living in a space of fear. And if we really wanted to take it even deeper, right, we can take it to sometimes there are energetic attachments, right, that we can call thought forms,
mm-hmm.
call other energies that we have maybe picked up from other people that we're acting out and living within. So I'm uncertain if anybody have ever had the experience of having certain thoughts and then thinking, this is not me, this is not how I normally see the world or see myself or see my concept.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems alien, it seems foreign, and that's because mm-hmm. there's other energies that may attach, and then you start thinking that way, and then you bring in all these other experiences, and you're trying to figure out what's happening, what's going on. So that's another whole level of talking about the dismemberment of self, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fragmentation of self, not being whole, and then trying
yes.
to a relationship with someone, bringing in parts of yourself and not the whole of you.
Mhm, mhm. And I want to. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
I was just. It takes two whole people, you know, or mm-hmm. nearly as whole, should I say, to want to show up in a relationship. Granted, we help each other grow even more, right, in our enhancement as we're together. We get to see different sides of the mirror with each other. It's still important for someone to do as much work as they can before committing to a relationship. And that includes being parents to a certain degree. I know circumstances happen. Sometimes things happen where that's not planned, where we don't control everything. But to a
mm-hmm.
certain degree, to be able to look at yourself sometimes and say, I have stuff, I have junk, what is it? You know, let me really work on it, not let me feel embarrassed about it or feel like that I should be condemned for it or I'm not good enough. In our country, we have this thing about we need to put on this face so that nobody sees our stuff. We have to hide
yeah.
it and tuck it away, else we'll be rejected. We need to remove that
right.
and allow
right.
to love on each other now. We need to bring that word back, love, and not just use
love.
It for media family.
Yeah.
Bring that
That's
word.
Right. That's right. Love. Let's say it again. Love, love, love,
love,
love. And we're going to take a love break. We're going to take a love break right here. We're going to take a love break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk more about being whole. Y'all not going nowhere, because we're coming right back at you with about wholeness. We'll be right back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Are you about work, 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 and no play? Adults have a tendency to stay busy and neglect their own health and well-being, while successful people take regular breaks, vacations, and timeouts to play, rest, rejuvenate, and tap into their creative selves. Play and Heal is a unique opportunity for you to host a life-changing event in your very own living room, an event that is especially designed by you to facilitate the releasing of stress, balancing the mind, body, and spirit, not only for yourself, but of your friends and family, too. Whether you create a soiree, a ladies' night, or couples event, these events are infused with the best of care, informative health information, and tools for stress maintenance that will shift how you see yourself and empower you to begin to work in cooperation with your best life. This event is sure to put a smile on your heart and send your spirit soaring. To book your Play and Heal event today, go to playandheal.org. Or you can email us at info@playandheal.org.
I'm tired of running from my life.
Hello, family. I'm Celeste Morgan, host of The Celestial Show, and I want to invite each and every one of you to join me on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern to receive divine messages through tarot, numbers, and my intuition. Break out to the other side with laughter and information you can use to get the life you truly want to live. Remember, that's every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I'll see you there.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the yes. 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Life Conversations Radio.
Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today for Ancestral Blueprints at 12 p.m. Eastern on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today, and how to bring awareness to the truths that want to be acknowledged. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, 12 p.m. Eastern, every last Wednesday of the month on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
And we're back. Yes, indeed. You heard about all our fantastimo hosts here on Life Conversations. And you all need to check them out. You heard times and everything, so there's no excuses. If you be there or be square, that's what I always say. All right, we're back to Lunda here on the playground.
Thank you.
So let's continue our conversation about wholeness and being whole in a relationship. When one comes to a relationship, and that's interesting when you said it. I started thinking. I said, okay, so if somebody's listening, they're like, well, how do I know I'm whole?
That's a very good question, because I think many of us are always working to figure out what else do we have to offer, right? What else can we experience on this planet? And part of what you get in your experiences, your growth, learning more about you, is in a relationship with another being. So for some people, they know something's off. Something's not right. Maybe they can't keep a steady relationship past 3 months. Maybe they're jumping in and out of relationships looking for love but trying to get it through just sex. Maybe they were abused and they haven't passed. They haven't been able to get over that past thought or how it's made them feel. Maybe they were teased as children and told that they were ugly or fat or didn't have anything to offer, or whatever it is that someone saw that wasn't acceptable in them. When we have thoughts like these, and it keeps us from moving into a place where we want to be, I mean, we all know those that conscious mind that sometimes will say, you know, well, you know, nobody's ever really going to want you to come and work for them, or nobody ever reads your book, or nobody ever hire you, or, you know, don't go to that because nobody really just talked to you. So those kind of beliefs are unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And although they may sound small or insignificant, but those are the things that we know that we're kind of walking around and we're not whole yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's that knowing. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I thought you were finished. Go ahead. I want to hear more.
Okay. It's that knowing that whatever it is you strive to do or be and experience, so this is going to sound kind of off when I first said it, and I'm going to come back and explain it, but kind of knowing that what it is that you're ready to do doesn't really have that large of an impact or significance,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of the beginning of understanding that what you do is kind of just who and what you are in its fullness and its acceptance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're all pieces of puzzles, and we all fit together. And when we come together, we tell a whole story, right? So we mm-hmm. all have a significance together, not separate.
Mm-hmm.
And the important piece is to be able to say, okay, now what I'm doing, does it really make a difference? Yes, it does. But getting over yourself, right, in the moment, getting over yourself, even in the moment where if you think, yeah, I got this, you know, I'm bad, you know, I'm doing everything, people want me, you know, that modestness, or if it's no, you know, I don't want to be seen, I don't want anybody to see me, I don't have anything to offer. Either extremes of those puts you in a position, right, of not recognizing and being able to receive. If you're doing you without looking to get something back, without having an attachment, it allows you to have more courage and freedom for self-expression. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. It does make sense. It does okay. make sense. I'm just, I was going into it, so, you know, that's what you were feeling. Because I know you were feeling. So I'm just going to explain to you what you were feeling. So I'm nice like that.
I just want to check in because sometimes I can go to these places and information comes in, and I just I'm doing my best to express it.
Yeah, and you did good. I was there. So you took me there. It was good. So I know you deal with, because this is part of it too. You know, it's funny that you deal with addictions, because there's so many different types of addictions in the world. People are always pointing fingers at other people about somebody else's addiction about something without really looking at what are you addicted to, you know? And so when I see that you work with addictions in your work, first I want to ask you, what kinds of addictions do you specifically work with?
I work with sex, love, and relationship addictions.
Okay. And I saw one on the internet addiction. Whoa. Internet addiction.
Yes.
What is the internet addiction? Come on now. How does someone know if they're addicted to the internet? Well, tell me, give the step-by-step while you...
I know, right? Something that, you know, can provide you infinite amount of information and contact to other people on the other sides of the world, right? How can you be addicted to the internet? Well, within any addiction, when you are doing something that limits your regular daily routine, it takes away from what you know you need to do in order to survive or to take care of yourself, right? That's when it becomes mm-hmm. an addiction, and the internet can be that way also. You might have somebody that has a 40-hour job, has two children, a partner at home, and then is responsible for community extracurricular activities. However, lately, they've been spending anywhere from 6 to 12 hours online, right? And it could be different mm-hmm. sites that they go to that they're streaming. But because now it's taken away from that partner being present in running the soccer coach program, right,
mm-hmm.
he comes later. Either he forgets to show up, and he forgets to pick the children up from school, or either he's late, or either he's also on the internet at work, and now the job is talking about firing him or putting him in a less pay position. These things affect your normal daily routine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Addiction itself, rather it's the internet, rather it's chocolate, rather it's exercise, rather it's food, period, or gambling. Or drugs, it is the preoccupation of something. Right?
Mm-hmm,
you're always
mm-hmm,
thinking
mm-hmm.
about it. You have a craving for it. You're always fantasizing about it, thinking about mm. a great time to get to it.
Mm. Okay. Well, you know, that's interesting because a listener asked a question for you, is how can you be addicted to love and relationships? What does that look like?
Okay, so what people have asked me is, and especially in sex too, because people have asked me, how can you be addicted to sex? Right?
No, that's I was going to ask you that one too. Because
right,
I'm saying,
it's a physical thing. So why would you not want that? It's the same thing. I'll start with the love and the relationship.
Okay.
When someone, I'll say this first, I'll throw some stats out there and then we'll move into the more mental part of it. 87% of people who have been abused in some sort of way, physical, verbal, sexual, right, emotional, and systematic. Systematic means that maybe they were in several different foster care homes as a child and didn't have a stable home, okay,
mm-hmm.
abuses, and also have had a parent who was an abuser of some sort, whether it was drugs or alcohol or gambling, usually have sex and love addiction problems. That means that they didn't have the opportunity to learn how to healthily bond in relationships. They didn't know or learn their self-worth in the reflection of appreciation and praise as children. They weren't told that they mattered, that they were important, and that they can have or achieve anything that they wanted if they put their minds to it. See, they didn't get this type of support. And when that's absent in your developmental years, it starts to form a pathway in your brain, literally, right, your neural pathway, that speaks to I'm not good enough, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when scenarios come up, and we can call them triggers, you know, mental health, when a scenario comes up that reminds them of that time that they didn't get the love they needed from a parent or a guardian, then they kind of snap back into that way of being, and that protective being comes up. And they want to get as much as they can to feel loved. So a love addict will continuously be in relationships maybe for the first 3 or 4 months to get that euphoric feeling that we do when we meet someone new.
Mm-hmm.
And then when things become a little bit more real and looking at, oh, this person has some issue going on. I don't know if I want to deal with that. I don't need to get that close or that emotionally attached. So I'm going to leave and I'm going to go to the next relationship because I want that feeling that I didn't get.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens in love and relationship addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships, they were never taught how to form a healthy bond.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Always to leave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the sex?
The sex piece, so I want to quickly say the other 13% of people who did not grow up
mm-hmm.
in abusive homes who have these types
mm-hmm.
of addictions, usually
mm-hmm.
it's something that they just really enjoy, right? Just like German
mm-hmm.
chocolate cake, right, for some people, you know, or even carob, right, or cacao nibs, right? So you're going
yes.
to constantly think about it and want it because it fills you up, literally. It fills the body up and gives it pleasure with the endorphins that's released, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's our pleasure arousal. That's our template that says, hey, I'm happy now. You know, let's get more of these. Let's get it going. So as we know, the more that you indulge in something that you enjoy peaks out at some point, right? The body and the mind saying, oh, well, I really can't get high off of this anymore. I really can't enjoy it with this amount you're giving me. I need more. So you do more, like an alcoholic. You take 2 drinks, next thing you know, maybe a month later, you need 12 now to get past that stage.
Mm-hmm.
So with sex, you need more. Now, there's different forms of sex addiction. There's pornography, where people are spending endless hours at a time online, and maybe they are into one certain imagery on the 3D screen that's giving them that pleasure. They're getting to their arousal template. But then it doesn't do it anymore. So now they're going to find some other type of enjoyment to watch because this doesn't do it anymore. So you surf through the different types of pornography online so that you can constantly get that high that you need. And as that happens, it may increase from 2 hours to 4 to 6. There's even people who are online for literally 20 hours a day.
Hmm. Okay. That's clearly an addict. Okay, we got that. And you do seminars for this, and also for the partners of the sex addict, which is, I know that must be a very interesting one, in terms of, you know what you're dealing with if you are the addict, you know, but then you're doing it for the partners of the sex addict, which I guess it impresses on them. Well, I know it impresses on them a little bit differently and more impactfully. And do you have any of those coming up?
Seminars or educational workshops?
Yes. Well, I was looking at the ones that specifically for the partners of the sex addict or the addiction.
Okay.
The addiction seminar.
Okay. So I don't have any workshops scheduled as of now. I am working with clients who are partners of sex addicts.
Okay.
I have both male and female clients, too, by the way, because I want to make sure that people understand that this just isn't a male issue like some people misunderstand and think that only men are sex addicts, and that's not true.
I hear that. And before we have a few minutes left, but I want to get the listeners to make sure that they know about a few things. You have a I'm Scoring Points seminar coming up. You have a Sacred, Satisfied, and Sexy seminar coming up. You have a new book release coming out. So I want you to give a little bit about those before we have to get off the playground.
Okay. So the I'm Scoring Points seminar is for men. I have many clients who complain that they just don't understand how women think and what they want. So we're helping to bridge that gap. So we're teaching men things that they can say, things they can do, things they can think, and how they can feel to help protect their own feelings and how to communicate to a woman what they need and what they can say and give to her in order for both of them to get their needs met. The Sacred, Sexy, and Satisfied workshop is for money, for women, and we're focusing on love, sex, and money. So we take you through these different areas to explore where you are with these things and if there's things that you have, beliefs, ideas that hinder your ability to be fully satisfied in these three areas of your life. And it's also a wonderful healing experience to be with other women, to have that connection, that nurturance, that love with one another. Because, you know, that's just what women do, right? But we sometimes forget that we need that because we're doing so much.
Mm-hmm.
The book
mm-hmm.
I'm coming out with, that's just, it was a wonderful heart project for me because it's my sharing of my own mistakes with men, right, where I was unable to maintain happy relationships with men, things I didn't know. Right, things that my mom forgot to tell me that are really important to men. And then also there's a love letter to men in the book as well to help with healing around that.
Wow. That sounds exciting. And so you do premarital education, anger management courses. And now do you do that primarily at your center now, or do you still contract out to organizations?
It's at the center.
Okay. So now, what do you want to leave? What golden other nuggets do you want to leave our listeners with today?
The nugget and jewel that I'll leave is not being afraid to look at parts of your life that haven't been working and not to be afraid to say that maybe I'm the common denominator in this and something needs healing, and to know that we are all works of art. We're all like clay, we're always molded, we're remolded, we're reshaped. We don't have to fit any standard, not even the ones that we make up for ourselves. We have a right to change and shift while we're here and grow and not to feel embarrassed about the things that we didn't know, right? Or even the things that we do that might not, we don't have the whole story too. So to be vulnerable on purpose, right, to allow somebody in your space to help you grow, to help, you know, teach you, for you to also share, is a very sacred and special place to be in.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. My beautiful sister, thank you so much for joining me on the playground today on this Thanks and Giving Day. And we appreciate you so much. And I look for you here on this playground of life very, 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 very soon. Big hugs to you and stay warm. Travel safely, all right?
Thank you so much. Many blessings.
Many blessings to you. Much love to you. We're going to go out with Sherry Marie, and we're going to dedicate this to my sister. And this is Revival of a Love Story, and you can find her on sherrymarie.com. I'll see you next week with much love, much hugs, Big blessings. Ombasa out.
I feel so alone. A ship that's lost at sea. When he walked out on me, I didn't have a plan B. Where do I go to now? How could I let this be? No one here to love, and no one to love me. This hollow aching in my soul. Help me, Lord.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.